Please Come Back, if you caught it, were the last lyrics there. And we've brought someone back, longtime broadcaster on AchieveRadio.com, a longtime friend of Bill, and a recent acquaintance for me, a retrieved acquaintance. We have Hillary Ramo, whose husband is Spanish from Spain. Is your husband a American Spanish or pure Spain, Hillary?
Pure Spain.
Pure Spain. How did you meet?
A long time ago.
No, I said, how did you meet?
Oh, I thought you said, when did you meet? There's a little echo on the line. Sorry. How did we meet? Through a friend.
In the United States?
Yes.
Now, there could be a bit of static and phone weirdness. I don't know what causes it. I think, Bill, I'm going to disconnect his Skype. I think that might be an issue, and I don't think it affects our phones here. Okay, quit Skype.
So am I going to Skype?
No, we're okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. So... Hillary, we had some conversation this week. I was wondering, would you like to talk about some patterns happening today, you know, this year, that you have things to say, or would you like to go back and talk about what we discussed back in 2013, November 2013, what I would call your spiritual feminism? Do you want to go back to the beginning, or you want to get right into the present?
Oh, I think we should just do the present.
Okay. Because you don't have much to say about spiritual feminism right now. You've done that, right?
Well, I think it's certainly in the air. It's definitely moving around in the ethers. Lots of people talking about it, different things bringing it up. It's kind of same energy, just morphed into something else. I mean, back when we did our show in your marathon, you know, we were supposed to do a 20-minute segment. And we went for 3 hours. And then you came on my show on Achieve Radio.
Yeah.
And we did another hour. So we've had a lot. We've talked a lot about a lot of things. I know the archives are available. I think only the first hour is available. I don't know. Did you check with the second and third? But I think the topics morph really well into right now. I think there's a lot of things we can talk about, yeah.
Did you have a different take on Trump than other people?
Absolutely.
Let's hear that.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, well, first I want to say thanks for bringing me on the air, Bob. You know, this, I have a special passion for radio, and I think it's a very valuable tool. And for people like yourself who have done it for so long, I just wanted to say thank you for bringing that truth out to the surface for people and helping people, you know, all these years on the air. It's certainly a gift. Not everybody can do it, although everybody thinks they can do it. But Trump is an interesting topic for people. The very name brings up so much for everybody. And when he was running his campaign in 2016, I was writing a book proposal for Cambridge's 9-dot prize. And the question for the competition was, does modern-day technology make politics impossible? So I was watching the campaign from a different perspective because I was taking the perspective in my book proposal for alternative media's role in getting Trump elected. So it was a unique perspective because not everybody's in the industry and not everybody has the perspective. So I was bringing forward the Alex Jones factor. And Alex Jones had Trump come on his show during the campaign, which I was floored by. I thought that was something that was incredibly unique and different. So that caught my attention right away because most politicians don't bother coming on shows that are more conspiracy-oriented. So yeah. When he came on and he did his speech and he was talking and, you know, that was the first thing that caught my attention. Well, I think what he did really was come on very intentionally to light up the whole audience, millions and millions of listeners. You know, Alex has a huge following. He's probably the largest voice in the industry today. But I think he spoke the talk to all these people, and he spoke the conspiracy talk. You know, at that point, there had been a pretty heavy conspiracy layer to a lot of the alternative media show hosts and networks. So there was a lot of listeners, big base. And I think what he did was he ignited all, he spoke the talk and ignited all of that in people and woke that up in their consciousness. And everybody says, oh, yeah, he knows the truth. He knows what's going on. The Illuminati, the Rothschilds, Clinton,
did
right?
Did he actually talk about those topics? Did he say Rothschilds?
Well, you know, I have to be totally honest with you. I didn't listen to the live show, but I listened to all the rhetoric after, all the talk, all the chat room talks and social media posts and articles and things of that sort. So when he came to Albany, New York, near where I live, I went to the rally, and I wanted to see it firsthand for myself, and I wanted to get footage, and I wanted to take pictures, and then I wanted to compare it to what the media here locally was going to put out afterward, and then the national voice. So when I went into the stadium, and I went all the way up to the top of the stadium. I went way up, last row, nosebleed seats, so I could get a really good look at the crowd and the movement through the crowd. And when Trump came out and started talking, he didn't specifically say Illuminati, but he talked about the different topics that are very familiar to the conversation on that specific topic.
Yeah.
So he was, you know, he was speaking to speak without coming out and sounding like Alex Jones or myself or one of the, you know, people like us who talk about these things. And I could see there were many different races in the audience, you know, pretty much all age spectrums, even from kids, teenagers, college students up to senior citizens. And I thought it was very clear that there was all kinds of people there. And then at that time, you had heard the story that it's mostly white people showing up, and they were beginning the whole racist rhetoric. Okay.
Yeah.
They were starting that social programming. And so I didn't see that in the rally at all. I saw one heckler come through the crowd, and he came right through the crowd where all the cameras were. Very intentional, as if staged. You couldn't have done a better Broadway show with that. And of course, you know, the police come in and they escort the one guy out. And when I was walking in, backtracking a minute, when I was walking in, there was a small protesting crowd of maybe 40 people or less against the wall with a police ribbon down the street. Very small section. The next day, in the major newspapers here, and there were thousands of people walking into the stadium. This was a sold-out crowd, lots and lots of people. The photo was of all those tons of people coming in to actually watch the rally, pouring through the gates, and the word was, protesters show up.
Wow.
So it was a very misleading news story here in our major papers. And then that story went out nationally, and it was a meme that caught on and went out really clearly through everything. So it's interesting because, you know, that the people who didn't go, the people who aren't there, the people who aren't seeing anything firsthand, get a very, very different take on what's actually happening. It's grand manipulation on a grand scale. When I wrote an article about it, I wrote a blog post about the whole experience. I received emails from people who were shocked that I was covering it from this angle and not jumping on the bandwagon of, oh, my God, he's such a horrible person. You know, the slandering, the onset of hate and, you know, rising feminist attitude of what a man-hater we are, right? Well, I think that comes to your point right there, because I think the whole thing has ignited the dark side of the feminine, and women and men are jumping on board with this hate. I actually had somebody say to me recently, you're not a very spiritual person. You don't hate Trump. And I said, what is happening to this world? I think people are paralleling in different dimensions, just even in the same room. I think the human mind has evolved to the point where it enables a person to tune into whatever they're resonating with at any given moment, and they attach to a collective energy that allows them to feed on that. So what I saw for myself firsthand, and of course I wrote it into my proposal, I didn't win, but I was very much into writing this up and taking this angle because I said, I'm onto something here. This has to be something important. right? We have a very clear manipulation of the media here in Albany, which is the Times Union, I believe it was. There was a couple other papers that are pretty big here. And then, of course, the nightly news that night had a big thing. Oh, Albany. Albany had this huge rally, and everybody hates Trump. And that wasn't true. That wasn't true. And what he did talk about was pretty relevant. I mean, I could agree with a lot of things he was saying, but I just think he got into office and didn't realize how much over his head he probably is in. I believe he's a smart person. I think he wouldn't be where he is if he wasn't intelligent. I don't agree with the name callings of he's a stupid this or stupid that. I think it's all a mob mentality.
Right. Now, what time in the campaign did you witness the Albany rally? Was it when the debates were still on with all those other 16 competitors in the Republican Party, or later?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it was early summer. I mean, I don't have it in front of me. I mean, somebody could look it up on the computer. Albany.
He hadn't locked it in yet.
No. So he was still campaigning, and he was talking the talk. And being who I am and having these conversations for, you know, over a decade with people, some of my guests were full-blown conspiracy writers. And, yeah, you know, that the Illuminati and everything was common language. David Icke opened up a big thing about the Illuminati. Anybody who reads his work, that's all they talk about. Oh, the Illuminati runs everything. But I have to tell you, I acquired a book from the 1890. It's the Encyclopedia of the Occult, and the Illuminati is listed in there. Okay, I wish I had it in front of me. I should have put it here. And it's Dr. John Dee. Okay, it's all the magicians. It's the alchemists. It's not the Rothschilds and the political meanies that are out there today. It's a complete different group. They have it right here in this book, written in the 1890, who the Illuminati are. But it's not anybody that anybody talks about now. And I posted that one day on social media, and it got nothing. No attention, no likes, no clicks, no nothing. Nothing. Crickets. Which is what happens when people – okay, you got to stop me at some point, because I'll just keep going.
Well, Illuminati, it did get publicity in 1776 when they first showed up in Bavaria. There were whatever – parchments and newspapers were available then. It was discussed for a while in the newspaper newsletter public in the late 18th century. Did you know that?
No, actually I didn't, but it doesn't surprise me.
Right.
Because they were talking about things that were much different then. Yeah.
Yeah, 100 years later, it would have been a tiny meme. It could have been referred to because it was talked about right away. And the guy that was the figure for it, he died pretty quickly. And I'm not up on what happened in 1810, 1830, 1840, but it did make a splash for a while. And then a few people in the 19th century started writing about the Illuminati, but maybe they were talking about the Jesuits or something. There was different angles, Freemasons. But it is an old, old topic. And, you know, McLuhan wrote in Gutenberg Galaxy back in 62 that the printing press allowed banking to be conspiratorial because the currencies would, first of all, be national, and then they have the nations interacting in Europe with their national currencies, and that could be manipulated from a central position, which had never existed before, that kind of central, in a way, software control mechanism. So McLuhan said that the conspiracy idea is a natural product of the printing press. It's a meme that surfaces. So that's a pretty interesting take on how that started. And then you have, with the electric environment, with radio, it crashed the printing press mechanism in 1929, and McLuhan says money became public property so that the private manipulation of money could not happen by, you know, barons and central bankers. So you got into the welfare state of the 30s and 40s under different national ideologies, you know, fascism, communism, the New Deal, Britain, socialism. So you had collectivity comes in with radio, and that money was never, after that, manipulable by private central bankers, let's say, or the banksters. But the meme continues. So people are confusing the implosion of the information society, where the word makes the market, generally coming out of the White House, and It is a world of incredible decentralization, which creates other disservices because nobody can control anything from the center. I had a friend talk to the richest man in Canada years ago, and Mr. Thompson was asked, who's in control, who's in charge? And this is one of the guys that would be labeled as linked to the Rothschilds. And he says, well, that's the problem. Nobody's in control anymore. That was back in the 80s. So he had one of these Illuminati confessing impotence, unless he was lying, but it didn't seem that way. So I find that McLuhan's interpretation of the effects of media, which he developed from Harold Innes, a political economist, are pretty relevant to having a different perspective and then understanding why a Trump phenomenon can happen. So did you predict that Trump would win after the rally?
Yes.
Did you see?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I had
because
a feeling
of the rally
it was
or other things? Because of the rally or other things later?
Well, actually, it was a couple things before that, because I watched the propaganda. Once you know it's there, you can't not see it. And
yeah.
The propaganda started to really wrap around Hillary in a really nasty, nasty way. And I knew that there was some real bad energy starting to turn around in there. And when
now,
Trump
started, I don't know what you mean. Do you mean that there was a conspiracy against Hillary? But what's the
no? But that
point
was
there?
No. I'm saying that was the propaganda. That was what was on the public. That was the public meme. You know, that was out there on CNN. You know, it was starting. You know, Hillary's emails, Hillary's this, Hillary's everything.
Oh,
everything was starting to come to the
Hillary mood.
Anti-Hillary movement.
Did
yes.
you take
and
it personal?
Trump,
did you take it personally?
You know, it's really strange. I have to tell you. I had a really strong reaction to that whole energy that was associated with that. And so I, for a short period of time, changed my name on everything online that I could. And it disconnected me completely, and I felt much better. So everything moved forward,
well,
and then Trump won. So I guess maybe...
What subtle lies we lead.
Oh, God.
What subtle lies we lead, where you can
maybe.
Do that, and it works.
Hey,
works
you never
you.
Know. Some people can cause
right.
thunderstorms. I don't know.
Okay, so you see this anti-Hillary mood. Are you pro-Hitler? Hillary? Are you pro-Hillary at that point, or do you like Trump?
No, I've never been pro-Hillary.
Oh, okay.
I've never been pro-Hillary. Right. I saw her once in London back in 2010. I happened to be staying in a hotel where she was staying in, and I didn't know it, of course.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the lobby. And, big crowd starts pouring in at 7 a.m., and I'm sitting and going, what's going on? And short woman walks through the crowd, and there she is bobbing her head through it. And then I see through a crack, and there's her face, and I couldn't believe how short she was.
Right.
And then out she went, and out went the crowd. So, you know, I'm not a pro-Hillary person, and I wasn't pro-Trump either. I didn't care who won, and I was totally trying to look at this from an objective point of view that did not pull me into one direction or the other. So
right.
when I was writing about the proposal, I was writing about what the Hillary meme was, of course, in alternative media. It's a David Icke movie, basically. She's a reptilian.
Yeah.
She'll eat your heart out. You know, she's a shapeshifter. All of these crazy things. Maybe she could cause it to rain. I don't know. But see, the thing is that everybody fell for all of it. I watched audiences, people, callers, social media, everything. And it was they just soaked it all up. And then you have Trump come in.
You mean the pro-Hillary people fell for that? The pro-Trump people fell for Trump? Is that what you're saying? Everybody
fell
for
Trump? Well, I'm saying the people that didn't like Hillary even more. After
right.
they started to see these articles. Now, of course, they're talking about Russia influencing the elections and all that, which I think is an absolute strange story. I don't even think that's
yeah.
true at all. But, the point is something was influencing people on social media. Somebody figured out how to exploit it. Somebody figured out how to go into the infrastructure and change the signals and knew where to put things. And so that's what happened. And people were either susceptible to it or they ignored it or they just agreed with it. And the way that that influenced people's minds digitally was pretty interesting to watch, because it's a whole new network of propaganda when you get people so sucked in to their virtual life where pretty much anything and everything can be studied. So I think what they did was they spent many years, I was still on the air in the years before social media even became a thing, so I remember what it was like to not have Facebook or not have Twitter or not have any of these gadgets and technologies. I'm probably one of the last people in the generation. Everybody pretty much below me is growing up with it.
Yeah.
I had a phone stuck in a wall, so at least I have the perspective of what it's like to not have it and have it. So I think that's pretty unique. And when you take a look at what happened through the elections, you can see a very clear undertow of opinion, propaganda, influencing, swaying. I mean,